From the shadows of the radio towers,
this is the Gay PHX Podcast.
Your weekly dose of real talk,
queer joy,
and community connection.
It's gonna be a good day, and everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Welcome to the Gay PHX Podcast, your community radio on demand. I'm Billy Foster, and whether you're cooling off under a mister or curled up recovering from Pride Month like we are, we've got a stacked show for you today. We're still catching our breath after Tidal Wave. And okay, truth be told, we got home, we got sick, and we didn't make it out this weekend. But that doesn't mean that we weren't working. The full bear suit photo gallery is now up at geephx.com, and it's soaked in all the right ways. And if you made a splash at Tidal Wave, you just might be featured. Later in the show, you're going to hear my conversation with two incredible guests. First, Gabby from Arizona Women of Leather, who alongside a small but mighty crew is leading a true Phoenix story by reviving AWOL from the ground up. And we'll talk about kink, community, and why good manners and feather dusters matter more than you think. And then we'll sit down with Marshall Shore, the hip historian, for some surprising LGBTQ plus stories rooted right here in Arizona soil. And before we dive in, let's talk about this past weekend's big moment. A huge congrats to Adam Surrett, your new Mr. Newtown 2025. Newtown hosted an unforgettable contest, and Adam, who proudly represents Arizona Men of Leather, stood out with heart, humor, and a powerful presence. We heard Joe Connolly's step-down speech hit everyone right in the feels, and the energy in that room? Pure legacy in motion. Coming up this Friday, celebrate Independence Day leather style. Head over to Anvil for a free 4th of July cookout hosted by Mr. Anvil Phoenix Ben Calderon and the folks at AML. It's meat, mischief, and maybe a harness or two. You know the drill. And lastly, a massive thank you to Live Nation Phoenix. Last month, we gave out 54 concert tickets across our website, community events, and live performer giveaways. If you were one of the lucky winners, we hope you're ready to rock. We'll announce our final Kesha ticket winner later in the show. So hang on tight and don't forget to tag your concert picks with hashtag GayPHX and hashtag Live Nation Phoenix. Let's keep that energy going. All right, that's my piece. Brian's coming up next with your weekly event rundown. Then we'll roll into the interviews. Stick around.
You are listening to the GayPHX Podcast,
where community comes first.
Hey, hey, GayPHXers. It's a new month, new heat, and new reasons to be out and about. July is here, and she did not come quietly. She came in like a disco thunderstorm with glitter in her boots and Kesha on her playlist. Coming to you loud and proud from the shadows of the radio towers, it's time for Brian's Hot 3, your weekly guide to what's sizzling, splashy, and shamelessly queer in Phoenix. I'm Brian, and these are the top LGBTQ plus happenings lighting up your long weekend. Let's get into it. Do you hear that tune? Oh my gosh, it can only mean yes! The Price is Right at Oz Bar, Thursday, July 3rd at 9 a.m. Nothing like sipping your morning mimosa while yelling at the TV. Come down for a weekday watch party that's equal parts game show, chaos, and cocktail therapy. Guests closest to the prize, without going over, you win a free drink. Start your day right at Oz because being fabulous is a full-time job. Friday, July 4th, 6 p.m., Thunderbird Lounge, Love Island Watch Party, Hot People, Bad Decisions, Cold Drinks, Reality is Their Sport. Sip something icy, cheer for your favorite couple, and throw shade like a pro. It's messy, it's beautiful, well, it's gay. Saturday, July 5th, 11 a.m., the Pemberton Ibiza Pool Party. In honor of the Tits Out Tour, we're going full Kesha. We're talking slushies, boozy pops, DJs blasting bangers, and enough sparkle to make a unicorn weep. Plus, Kesha ticket giveaways for her Phoenix stop at the Talking Stick. No, she won't be there, but your shirtless selfie might just summon her spirit. This pool party is the moment. And that is your Brian's Hot 3 for the week. This has been your Gay PHX Weekend Picks, your audio roadmap to rainbow mischief, community magic, and just the right amount of chaos. Catch you next week, same time, same vibe, same rainbow-tinted mic. Whether you're sipping in the sun or screaming at a reality show, remember, Pride doesn't end in June. It evolves, it deepens, it stretches out in every splash, every dance floor stomp, and every defiant laugh you share with your chosen fam. So show up, sparkle up, be loud, be queer, be legendary. For more events, giveaways, and sweet queer chaos in full bloom, visit gayphx.com and plug into your people. Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, and that's what's hot. See ya!
Want all the details? Head over to gayphx.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
More stories, more voices, more pride.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
This 4th of July, skip the basic backyard barbecue and celebrate your independence the Anvil way. Join Mr. Anvil, Phoenix, Ben Calderon for a free flame-fired feast this Friday, July 4th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at Anvil, 2424 East Thomas Road in Phoenix. We're grilling up juicy hot dogs, tasty burgers, and sides so good they'll make you forget your safe word. Don't miss the raffle. Ben's giving away a spicy red, white, and blue gift basket packed with sexy toys and a $100 Visa gift card. Perfect for heating things up after the fireworks. Come hungry, come proud, and come ready to party with the Arizona Men of Leather for a night of freedom, flavor, and fun. This ain't your neighbor's cookout. It's gear, grub, and good times, Anvil style. Anvil's 4th of July cookout. No cover, all flavor. Don't be late. The buns are hot, and so is your host.
Another voice. Another vibe. Another reason we love this community.
She's bold, she's brilliant, and she's bringing back a vital piece of Arizona's leather legacy. AWOL, Arizona Women of Leather, is rising again, and at the center of that revival is a fierce leader with a vision, heart, and a whole lot of leather pride. So grab your cuffs, center your intentions, and join us at the rainbow-tinted microphone as we welcome the powerhouse behind AWOL, the Arizona Women of Leather, Gabby. Welcome, welcome.
I can't remember having an intro quite that buoyant and lively and flattering. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you. We love you and all that you do, and the fact that you're working so hard to bring you and Lilith, to be fair. I want to make sure that credit is given where credit is due on bringing back this group.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And everybody else.
Let's tell us a little bit about yourself and what first brought you into the leather community.
Oh, okay. Shortly before they discovered fire and after they invented dirt.
I love it.
I decided to go to the Gay Pride Festival, well, the Gay Pride March. It wasn't really much of a festival back then in New York. I was still in high school. I was definitely taking my life in my hands.
So
back
where in New
those
York?
Days, they, New York City.
Oh, New York City. The big city.
I'm
okay.
Born, yeah, in New York City. And back, how old am I? It started in the Village and marched up to Central Park, which it has not done in decades.
Oh, wow.
In decades. Yeah. And while we were there, or while I was there, and I went solo, funny part is, somebody handed me a loop with somebody at the other end. I mean, that's correct. I'm standing there, and they said, here, hold this for me. And there was somebody at the other end of the loop. And I just went, okay. And that's how it got started, although the running joke is, I am an older sister, which it might come naturally. Saying.
Oh my goodness. And so what does the leather lifestyle mean to you personally?
Personally, adult playtime. It means playtime, basically. As adults, we're horribly restricted. We often have to hold jobs that are confining in some sense or another, that are not freeing necessarily, that are not necessarily creative. And this is a chance to be creative. It's a chance to play. It's a chance to actually take up hobbies. Throwing a whip requires some practice, for example. Bowling requires practice. You have to know your knots. And not everybody was a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout. So for me, it's play. It's a little bit of freedom. And it is what you make it, basically. There are all kinds of lifestyles that fit under the leather umbrella. Or all kinds of styles, period. that fit under the leather umbrella.
And what was a moment or experience that made you feel like, okay, yeah, this is where I belong?
There's been several over the years, quite frankly, and it tends to come in waves. Over the years, people have devised titles, right, for styles of interaction and energy exchange and that sort of thing. And I label myself more often than not as a service top. So the thing that gives me the most thing or made me feel the most at home is when you've got a really good energy exchange going and you're making somebody so happy and putting them in an altered state of consciousness, that subspace, whatever, that you help get them there. You were able to help get them there. And that just always makes me feel, that's the warm and fuzzy for me more than anything. Make sense?
It does, yes. And how do you bring, and is that different for different people, how you make that happen?
Oh, totally. It's totally different for different people. I've played with a number of people who have had disabilities. I played with men as well as women. Some people are really into what most people would say is pain. Other people are into sensation play. They want to be surprised. So a feather duster will do it for some people if you know how to use it. Oh, yeah. Do all sorts of things.
So is that more tickly then, like a feather duster, as I think about it? Because now I'm curious.
Where that can happen. So, yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all world. That's the thing about it. You know, if anybody thinks it's a rubber stamp, I do X, Y, and Z, and I'm done. That's not it. You always have to go in with, I believe, a sense of humility, because don't always know what the other person wants, and it may not be the same as last week, even if it's the same person.
So what are the different types of kink / leather play are there out there?
Oh my gosh. Wow. Do we want an alphabetized list or a list in order of importance?
How about the most popular?
The most popular might surprise you, actually, because almost everybody practices some kink at some time. Even if it's casual, even if it's a couple of bandanas tied to a bedpost or smack on the bottom, that sort of thing. I think the problem is that we tend to segregate and say, well, leather lifestyle. Very few people. It's rarefied that very few people are 24/7, master, slave, top sub, whatever. Most people have to put on some sort of drag every day, whether it's a uniform, an actual uniform, or they have to present themselves at an office or a store or something like that. And you take that part of yourself with you, but expressing it is going to be difficult in a lot of these circumstances. Yeah. I got derailed.
How about even the terminology, like you're saying, leather lifestyle? Do you think that people say that because kink has a different connotation, even though not everything is leather?
Yeah, probably. Leather lifestyle is easier to swallow. Again, it tends to be a broader umbrella term, a little bit of a linguist. Kink tends to mean something that's sexual, overtly sexual, strongly sexual, something that gets someone off, quite frankly. Whereas leather lifestyle, and like I said, the range is anything from tying somebody up in your playroom in the basement to serving your partner martinis dressed like a 50s housewife. Sometimes it's as simple as role-playing. People do it in the street all the time. Honey, we want to go out to dinner, but I want to be at a bar. And you're going to meet me like you're meeting me the first time and pick me up.
Right.
People play games like that all the time.
That's, the most common one, right?
That pulls under the right.
I'm the mailman. I'm the delivery guy. I'm the plumber.
They sell outfits for that. they sell maid outfits for that and things like that. Exactly. They play, they do role play. And those are people who probably do not consider themselves, quote unquote, leather lifestyle. But what they're doing is kinky because it's overtly sexual as opposed to something more mild in a leather lifestyle where you engage. Some people are engaged 24/7 in certain roles. And there may or may not be a titillating aspect to it. I am reminded of the Southwest Leather Conference that used to be held in Phoenix. And their foundational thesis was spirituality, not sexuality. So it carries different meanings for different people. Kink tends to signal or signify something that is, dare I use the word, abnormal and overtly sexual. And I think it scares people.
I agree. It's interesting how wordplay comes into place. Speaking of, what are some of the misunderstandings that you think people have about leather play, especially since we see things like in Hollywood movies where they just meet and things are, they just know how to do and how to act and how to be with each other without any conversation. Yeah. And we know that's not the reality.
Correct. Correct. I think that's probably the most common misconception is that there's no communication. And there is, I think it is the great Guy Baldwin. I know Guy, haven't seen you in ages. Love talking to him. He's always got something value add to him. He once said, I believe, and I hope I'm not wrongly describing it, that there's no such thing as a bad scene if you can communicate, if the lines of communication are open. So if things go not according to plan, as long as you can talk about it, it doesn't have to mean that it's a bad scene. You just learn something. It's a teachable moment or a learning moment. And I think that's probably the biggest misconception is that there's no communication. People don't have contracts. People think automatically know how to act with each other. And as somebody who was something of a protocol person, I won't say master, but a bit of an expert, again, maybe, on protocol, you have to learn these things. And protocols changed over the years, let me tell you.
And how one learn so protocol?
You watch, you ask questions. People who are willing to answer your questions without being necessarily self-aggrandizing are the people that you want to keep in your life. They're willing to teach without the ego being involved. So that's how you learn. And you watch and you pay attention. I don't know in your audience, and I don't know if you heard this, but that said, if you walk between a submissive and a dominant, you now own that submissive, right? Or master and a slave. And that doesn't make any sense. What if they're at a party?
Right.
Somebody's got a tray of hors d'oeuvres. Come on. It doesn't make sense.
I walk through the line, I now have 5 slaves.
Exactly. Hey, just remember, you got to feed them all and you got to look after them. And right. What a responsibility. In all seriousness, you hear some of these things people bring up and you go, no, that doesn't make sense. Protocol really is about good manners. More than anything, it is about good manners. Manners are a lubricant that actually underpins society to a large extent, and we take them for granted. But when you say things as simple as please and thank you and you're welcome and good morning and hi and whatnot, that's good manners. And it makes people feel seen and heard, acknowledges somebody that did something nice for you, et cetera, et cetera. That's really all it is, more than any.
It's funny because I think that's just common sense. And then I forget, common sense is not common anymore. These are not things that people do. I used to ride around in the car and I would wait. My friend would drive. And since I couldn't drive at the time, I'd wave at people all the time. And she's like, you're going to get a shot. I'm like, I'm just waving. I'm trying to spread joy. There's not enough of it in the whole world.
It's funny. We just don't think about these things. We take them for granted. And then when you take a step back and you look and you see how people interact with each other, good manners makes a difference. It helps build relationships and it helps reduce friction.
I agree. And it's funny when people say, oh, back in the day, blah, 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 blah. And it's, yeah, back in the day, it wasn't necessarily all good, but we can take the good parts from back in the day and continue doing them. And those are some of the things that I think that we need to carry forward. Manners, caring about your neighbor.
Checking in on people. One of the things that's incredibly popular in the leather community, you touch on that, caring about your neighbor, is people form clans. I don't know if you've had Dennis and Bonnie on yet, and I hope you do get them on. They're pillars in the community, and they have the Dragon Clan. They are the mom and dad for the Dragon Clan, and it is not unusual for societies, clubs, and clans to form, because once upon a time, we would not have been accepted by our families because we were gay, lesbian, et cetera, et cetera. In other cases, it's because we're kinky. We would not dare not tell our families, we could lose the kids. I've known a few cases where children have been lost because of that. And in other cases, I know somebody who was killed in an accident, and her live-in was pretty much dispossessed by her children, because they refused to acknowledge the relationship she had with this man, who she'd been with for quite some time. Yeah.
Yeah, to a certain degree. And that was why I said that, do you think some people accept the term leather lifestyle over kink? Because kink has the connotation almost as,
the negative kinking,
yeah, is like coming out gay to some families. Then you're a degenerate. Right. And you're like, wait, what? No.
No, it's all consensual. It's all done with communication and so on. And getting that across to people is sometimes, it takes a minute. It does. Because then they are like, so you like to, and it's like, what a thicket. First of all, don't get any ideas.
Right.
It may not be as strange as it sounds kind of thing. And it's funny, some people just can't accept it. Absolutely cannot accept it. She was thinking of this particular friend of mine, and she's gone a while already. She was a lawyer. Her partner was not, and she was submissive to him, and that was their lifestyle. And he was a good guy. Really was. They had what they had, but her children could never accept it. So when she was killed as a result of a truck ran into her while she was bicycling. It's terrible. They dispossessed him of their house and whatnot. And these are adult children, by the way.
Right.
I'm not talking about young people. I know one parent who lost the kids to the father because he decided suddenly that he did not want to participate in the lifestyle and he wanted a divorce. That kind of stuff happened, sadly.
And you touched on this before. What does consensual mean to you?
Consensual means aware. Consensual means open lines of communication. Consensual means that the other person is aware there may be some risk involved. There are various types of consent in the world or in the leather community. I'm probably a little behind the times. Actually, they used to be RAC, the aware consensual kink. I think there's something else now. I haven't done my homework, admittedly. Basically, consent means that the person that you're playing with is aware that there could be some risk to yourself and to themselves, and that you sat down and talked about what they want and what you can offer, and that's consent. You set up a space. If you're in the actor role or the top role or whatever you want to call it, again, with the labels, I don't want to get too deep into that. In my opinion, you're responsible for setting up the space, making sure it's safe, making sure it's appealing, and that everything you need is handy, and they are there to receive what you have to offer. So, catcher and pitcher, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yes.
So,
and it all depends on the play that you're doing too, right?
Correct. In some cases, like I said, I've played with people who are disabled, so we have to be ready for certain medical emergencies. If they should arise, mm-hmm. fortunately, has not happened too often, and that you have to be able to have, hey, do you need your meds? Do you need an inhaler? Whatever
right.
the case may be. And they have to be aware that it could be a risk.
So how and does...
That's consent for me.
How does AWOL embrace and introduce people to different types of play then?
Since we've just started out, both we've been doing is we've been meeting and talking about future plans, and we'd like to get a series of lectures going, a few topics, and each one of us can do a lecture on it, that sort of thing. We've also done demos around town with Chrome, and that's been highly successful because it's nice to have a female presence, not only male presence. We've been able to do that. So again, we're just getting started. I'd like to see the group grow big enough to bring in outside speakers from the community and maybe outside of the community on occasion, because we do hold pageants and contests here, and sometimes people come from out of town. I just judged the Phoenix, Arizona puppy contest, and we had Bubble. Bubble in from L.A. He's a title holder. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
So funny story.
Isn't Bubble
little awesome? Sidebar. I have to do this because it's absolutely hilarious. Sure. We were out in Palm Springs at IBC at a bearer pool party, dance party thing. And we were down on the dance floor, and he was trying to get his friend to, like, just take his shirt off. He had a harness underneath so that he knew he was going to take his shirt off. He just wasn't comfortable yet. So we thought it was really funny. And so we helped encourage him, and he finally took his shirt off. And so we were very excited. And that's how we met Bubbles and his friend. And we're like, oh, we love you. You're amazing. And then when he came out here and we heard his name, because we were outside promoting Gate PHX, and we're like, no way. Right. Is it him? And then we went in there and we saw, we're like, what? And he was so confused because he thought we lived in Palm Springs.
He is one awesome human being. He is so out there, so loving, and so accepting, and so positive, and in all the right ways.
Such an inspiration.
It's just totally, completely. I even hit him up. I said, you're my new mentor. And he said, me? I said, oh, yeah. I said, you have no idea. And then somebody else later said something about he's good at mentoring. And I said, see?
It's meant to be.
I have to check in on them. Absolutely. So if we can get in outside speakers, if we could pull people in from some of the speakers, Apex, because they are, what did they convert to? 501c7, I think. I want to say. I could be wrong. They have to have internal speakers. It's one of their, I believe, that is one of the criteria for their tax status.
Oh, okay.
Having somebody in from Apex might be nice. They've got quite a large group. I fully intend to go down and to one of their barbecues, see about joining up again and maybe even recruiting as well. I don't know if they have a FIG special interest group anymore for women or not. I have not been as involved in the community at large until this past year as I would like. I took a break for a while. I had a few other things ended.
What life happened, so we totally understand that. What's important is that you're here now. And right. You know, you're doing the hard work of trying to help bring AWOL back to life. What are some of the biggest challenges that you're facing?
The biggest challenge is actually recruitment. The Phoenix women's community is very interesting, and it's a tough nut to crack. It's very fragmented. It's a little striated. So it's always been a challenge for me personally. I admittedly, it takes somebody, we all know somebody like this, someone who's never met a stranger, right?
Oh, yes,
somebody
that's my husband.
Who is outgoing. Okay. So that's, I'm not bad, but I'm not quite at that level. And really, we need a couple of people like that to carry the message. But more than anything, it's been ourselves exposed in the women's community. We need to make some time to make a contact at boycott and see if we can come on down one night, all five or six of us, or how many there are right now, and come in our vests and whatnot and hang out and have pass out cards, pass out handbills, talk about AWOL, and see if women would be interested. Go to some of the other places, like we've been to Stacy's. We've gotten a good reception there. But that's the toughest nut to crack, quite frankly. It's not, women are a little more cautious, and it's not quite the same way for the men's community, particularly the gay male community. AML has existed now for, what, 20 years?
Right.
I believe. It's not symmetrical.
And it's a bigger pool to pull from, so to speak, admittedly.
Correct. Correct. And the women's community, there actually is Valley Leather Women. I think the VLW, they don't really seem to show up. And they seem to be mostly a social group. I could be wrong, but people who have drifted over to AWOL have said that. So.
Got it.
You know, more power to them, but it's probably, who knows, maybe we'll join forces, who knows, but yeah. Stranger things have happened, but the hardest nut to crack really is the women's community in Phoenix, because it's somewhat fragmented and stratified, so that's always been my bugaboo.
The flip side of that, what's been the most rewarding moment since you've restarted the group?
Oh, the most rewarding moment actually is, and just being around the community, being around our brothers in AML, being around other members of the leather community and being respected as a leather woman has been phenomenal. I cannot speak highly enough, particularly about Mike and Nick of AML and some of the other brothers like Dennis and so on. I should have brought a list because, frankly, it would be a very long list. These guys are our biggest boosters and our biggest supporters, and they have been just absolutely stellar, absolutely stellar, and it just warms my heart. Regardless of what happens with AWOL, this is something I will take with me forever. So that's really where it's at.
Yeah, we love the guys at AML. They are so encouraging. They've pushed us to do certain things. As a matter of fact, because of their Mr. Anvil Leather contest, that was the kicker that got me, okay, I need to do this podcast like I've been talking about for years, and this is the event to kick it off, to make it happen, because they've got a deadline, and a deadline makes me work harder.
Yeah. Oh my God, I have a due date.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I hear you.
Looking ahead, what are some of your hopes for AWOL in the next year?
I'd like to double the membership, maybe triple the membership. I'd like to make sure that the same four or five or six people are not doing everything all the time, so that we can spread the work around. I would like to see us do some bigger events that are AWOL focused, that are women focused. Right now, the biggest leather bar in town is Anvil, so that's where we've been camped out. I'd like to see about doing some things, if we could, if it makes sense, at Boycott, which is really the only women-focused bar in town. I have not reached out to them yet. None of us have, and so that's on my to-do list. Establishing a relationship with them would be fantastic, if that's possible. And increasing the membership for sure, watching it grow and being able to step back a little further so that it can stand on its own. That would be my goal for the year. And it may actually take a few years to do that. But if I can do it in a year, that would be great.
That'd be awesome. Now, let's say someone's listening right now who's curious, and maybe they've been watching from the sidelines or feeling like they're pulling towards leather or kink, but they're nervous. What's your message to someone like now if they don't feel like they belong or they're not ready for this space yet?
Take your time. Be who you are. Take your time. Don't be easily intimidated. Take a deep breath. put one foot in front of the other and do some exploration. We are lucky enough to live in a situation nowadays with things like smartphone and the internet. You don't have to leave the comfort of your house to find out information. Some of it's going to be correct and some of it is not going to be correct. And the only way to verify that is when you have the chance to be out in the real world when you are ready. Do not let other people push you. Just take your time. Be yourself and be comfortable in your own skin first.
Excellent. And any upcoming events, workshops?
At this point, we are currently meeting on the second Saturday of every month at 2 o'clock at Anvil. You can find us there. We are on FetLife. We are available on Instagram. We are available, where else? We are available on FetLife, Instagram, Gmail, ArizonaWomenOfLeather@gmail.com. Somebody will answer you if you let us. And nothing being planned yet. Unfortunately, the summer season with leather people in Phoenix.
In Arizona, yeah.
Tends to go a little dormant.
That's when I can afford the leather, though, is the summer leather outfits.
Exactly.
Gabby, I can't thank you enough.
You're more than welcome. I enjoyed talking to you offline as well.
Oh,
yes. Just to iterate that, Instagram, FetLife, and email are the places that we can be found. ArizonaWomenOfLeather@gmail, AZWomenOfLeather on FetLife, and ArizonaWomenOfLeather on Instagram. So we are available. And it's been an absolute pleasure. I had fun talking to you, like I said, offline, out in the real world.
Awesome. Yes, yay. I can't wait to see you out there as well. And anytime, yes, you let us know and we'll promote it. We're out there to help you spread the word.
I will absolutely do that. The truth of the matter is there's 6 of us total and 4 of us do most of the work. And after a while, you just got to catch your breath and you just kind of keep plugging away.
So, no, I understand completely.
That's kind of right now.
Yeah, and you don't want to get burned out either. Because the starting of a club, the starting of anything, even like this, the podcast, even our website, you just got to keep loving it and keep just showing people, look at my pretty baby. And then they'll see and then they'll join and then they'll come in. You just got to work
it. Correct. And you should give yourself a big hand for this. This is awesome. This is something Phoenix has needed for a while. And you bring such good, clean, positive energy to it. It's fabulous.
Oh, thank you very much. Blushing right now.
To hang around with. Good. You should. Absolutely should. Yep. I hear you. It's been an absolute pleasure. I could probably talk to you all night. Well, hopefully I made some sense.
You made a lot of sense. You made a lot of great points. This is exactly why I wanted to have you on. Things evolve. We want to bring you back on. The idea is for this to continue to happen.
Okay. We can continue to have this conversation. I would love it.
Awesome.
That would be great.
And it helps teach me too, because a little bit of about me, just so you know, I've always been out and I've been gay, but I haven't been a part of the community really until 2019, because you just work. And then when that's all you do is you work and then you go out.
Right.
But I never was a part of the community. I went out to the community, if that makes sense. I'd go to the bar and I'd see, oh, there's an event. But I never put together the pieces of how that event happened, because I never thought about it. I was like, oh, the bar just throws an event. No, it's the community that's putting the event together. So when I started learning and realizing that, I'm like, I have got to be a part of this. And people need to be bragging about this. So that's what I want to do, is let people brag about themselves out to our community so they know all these cool things that are going on.
Yeah, I'm not too good at bragging about myself. I'd rather push a wall to be great than me. I'm just a vehicle. I'm a vehicle to bring people together. And one of the most important things we all need right now is unity.
Yes.
We need to be brothers and sisters. We need to be taking care of each other, especially now, more than any other time in recent history.
Agreed. I completely agree. In that, again, the impetus of why I've been talking about doing a podcast for years, but now it has to happen. Now we need it now more than ever. Not that we need me. We need to know about the community. We need to hear these stories. Other people that are shy that come across this podcast, I want them to be able to hear this and go, okay, I feel like I can go out there and see people or say hi to somebody because I feel like I know them at least a little bit, just to take that edge off.
I agree. And if anybody sees any of the AWOL members out, just come up and say hello. We don't bite unless we're out. Okay.
And then it's how hard.
It pretty much. But otherwise, I think that's a really good point, being a part of the community as opposed to being out in the community are very different things. And I think people need to realize that some people are more naturally inclined to be community-minded, and some of us have to learn it. And for most of us, it's a combination of both, quite frankly. So, yeah, it's like I said about manners. We don't realize it at the time, but manners makes a difference. Community makes a difference.
Agreed. Completely. I can't thank you enough. This has been an awesome conversation. I had a great interview before. This was an awesome interview. So thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. I appreciate it so much, Billy. You take care, and more dog pictures when you get a chance.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Looking for a reason to smile this summer? Grit pool parties are back.
Freaking awesome!
And Tempe Sundays just got a whole lot hotter. Clothing optional. BYOB. And yes, the legends are true. Whether you're here to flirt, float, or find your tribe, it's all happening at Grit. Spots are limited. Visit gritaz.com to grab yours.
This is what community sounds like.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about injectable HIV meds. Let's talk about long-acting HIV medications. It's a total game changer for both prevention and treatment. Instead of taking pills every day to prevent or treat HIV, long-acting options like injectable PrEP or injectable HIV treatment can be given once every 1 or 2 months, some even less often. That means fewer daily reminders, more privacy, and more freedom. But they're not for everyone. You'll need to visit a provider regularly for your shots, and missing an appointment can raise your risk of resistance. We don't want that. Some people also experience side effects like injection site pain or fatigue. The good news? These meds are safe, effective, and helping more people stay undetectable or HIV-free without that daily pill. Talk to a healthcare provider to see if long-acting options are right for you. Let's live and love stigma-free of HIV.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
You've seen him in bow ties, fabulous glasses, and always with a story to tell. Today, Arizona's past gets a fabulous makeover right here at the Rainbow Tinted Microphone. Please welcome Marshall Shore, the hip historian. Welcome.
Wow, there's a whole crowd. Woohoo.
Oh, yes. You know, live studio audience right here. In the comfort of my teeny tiny little office.
Exactly. It's like you trained your dogs well.
Yeah, see? So, Marshall, again, thank you for being on here. You don't like just teach history. You like wear it, live it. You make it fabulous. At what moment did you realize Arizona's stories needed this kind of historian?
So I moved to Arizona about 25 years ago. I was working in a small library in South Phoenix and started learning about Arizona through stories of the community. And that just never stopped. And I kept finding all these cool stories. I'm like, why are we not talking about this? And so that was my goal, is trying to figure, well, how do we find all these cool stories and find more and just get them to be kind of our everyday part of the conversation?
And how do you keep history fun, fabulous, and relevant for today's audience?
Oh, you know, I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. So if you go to the art museum right now, they have a Keith Haring in the archives exhibit up that is all about Keith Haring when he was here in 1986 painting a mural.
Oh, wow.
And so it's really great that they were able to find, they found more than they expected. So they started digging in their archives and they found photos they hadn't seen before that had basically been put in a file and just kind of placed there, and they unearthed them. They have a t-shirt. They only have one t-shirt that he designed for the art museum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he was,
recreating it, reproducing it kind of thing, or is it just there? And
I think they're, last we chatted, they were trying to find out if they could get the okay from his foundation to reproduce them.
Got it.
So, I mean, it's like, you know, how do we try to make that history fun and relevant? And so I think with Keith Haring, it's like he was here in 86 working with a group of students from South Mountain High School painting a mural. And that affected so many of them to paint murals. And so, and I think that's part of the reason why we have this revolution going on right now throughout the valley, throughout the state, of murals. Yeah, no, I mean, those students that he worked with, I mean, some of them are still running around painting murals.
What's a piece of Arizona LGBTQ plus history that you wish people really knew about?
So, yeah, so the trans flag was designed right here by Monica Helms. Back in 1999, that original flag that she made now sits in the Smithsonian Museum. And I just think it's really cool that this symbol that is now seen globally was created right here in the Valley.
And can you share a surprising or emotional queer story that stopped you in your tracks and or just stuck with you?
You know, there's so many. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, when I first got here, I heard people say there was no history here. And at one point, I'm actually in Provincetown out in Cape Cod, and I'm in a junk shop flipping through some oily muscle magazines from the 50s, and I stumble across an ad for an artist selling half-naked cowboys, and the address was Phoenix, Arizona. And that was George Quaintance, who did a lot of those muscle magazines in the 50s. He was doing some of that from right here in Phoenix. So that was kind of my first foray into, hey, there's some really cool stuff that people just aren't talking about.
That is awesome. And you do a podcast, correct? How often do you?
We do a podcast. We're not very regularly with it. So it's myself, Doc Bev, Yo-Yo Blackfire, and then Jason Elmore. Or Jordan Elmore. And so trying to wrangle four schedules is quite challenging. So I have a feeling we're going to wind up wrapping up our season towards the end of this month when Jordan is out of school. And yes, I mean, we've had guests on there like Petronella, who was a drag queen back in the mid-70s, talking about some of the clubs.
Oh, see, I'd love to hear those stories.
And so if people are ever walking along Roosevelt, on the north side of the street at about 2nd Street, where the Illuminate building is, if you look in the sidewalk, there's a small brass plaque, and that is for a club called the 307. The 307 was an iconic drag club here in the Valley that was actually located at 222 East Roosevelt. Originally, they were at 307, but then after a fire, they moved to 222, but they kept the same name. And when it was getting ready to be demolished, we were trying to figure out how to save the building. That wasn't going to happen. And so we then had the ability to put a plaque in the sidewalk to commemorate that safe space.
I'm going to have to check that out. I know the corner well. I worked it for years, and I don't mean it like that. I mean because I worked at the radio station there at Central and Roosevelt.
Well, you know, so. You wouldn't be the first to have worked the, you would not have been the first to work the corner like that, but.
That doesn't surprise me. how do you get people to learn about history? Like you do walking tours, correct?
I do walking tours. I do presentations. I'm getting ready to... In June, I'm up in Sun City Library doing a presentation on gay history. I know we're getting ready to do something with All Queer Shakespeare.
Oh, very cool. Now, say that again. It was All Queer Shakespeare?
All Queer Shakespeare.
Tell me more about that if you can.
So it is a local group that is out of Scottsdale. And so for Christmas, they did a Christmas carol, but a very queer retelling of that story. For Valentine's Day, they did kind of a queer cabaret. And so it's just making sure that there are diverse voices on our stage.
That is incredible. I definitely need to get in touch with them and learn more about this. Pride this year, with everything going on in the administration, what are your thoughts on World Pride? It's supposed to be here in D.C., and then we've got this administration that's canceling everything.
You know, but it, as far as I know, I don't think it receives direct funding. I mean, I know they just canceled like the NEA, so they've just zeroed out their budget. So I know I have some programs have been canceled because of that. You know, I think a lot of it is private funds or corporate donations. And so it will still be happening. And I think it's important that it does happen just because people need to see. You know, it's not necessarily that it's for us that are here talking, but it's for those folks in those small towns that don't have that ability to maybe even have a small community they can be a part of. I mean, I had a cousin in Indiana. They tried to do a pride march, and the best thing they could do in the town was a unity walk. They were not allowed to mention pride.
What?
And so for those folks, that's why we do things like World Pride, Phoenix Pride, Tucson Pride, Flagstaff Pride, Bisbee Pride, because there's still places where you can't do a pride.
And that's interesting because I had Jeremy Novy on a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how in New Orleans, they couldn't get a rainbow crosswalk. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, because they said it's too distracting. And I'm like, on Bourbon Street? Wait, what are you talking about?
Right.
How can a rainbow on the ground be distracting? So, you know, sometimes when we're in this bubble in our safe zone, I forget about.
Right. And that is really why community becomes more important, is just because as things are being shut down, I mean, you know, I mean, we've survived basically on the fringes before.
Elsewhere, out there, you know.
And so in some ways.
So, wow.
I mean, and really kind of going back to that. I mean, it's like I've fought long and hard to be who I am and out as I am, and I am not giving that up.
Right.
I mean, my goal is to live larger and louder than ever before.
I agree. It's taken a lot for myself to come to terms with myself, so to speak. And I don't plan on going back, because you know, I came from a small town in Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, I came from a small town in Indiana, and it's like, nope, been there, done that.
So you know that, yeah. So we know the journey, and we know that there is a better way. We just don't know why we took this step back. Now, with this administration working so hard to try and erase our history, what can we do as a community to try and preserve it? What are the actions that we need to do to make sure that the next generation doesn't forget about what lied before, what happened before?
I mean, a lot of that is supporting each other, regardless of the alphabet, and start listening to folks. I mean, it was like we just did a 2-hour conversation with Miss Millie. Now, Miss Millie transitioned in the late 60s, moved to Arizona in the early 70s, and has been such a strong member of the community, not necessarily a loud voice in the community, but always present. And so did a conversation with her that we filmed with Yo-Yo Blackfire, having that, trying to create more of this intergenerational so that we can start sharing those stories back and forth, because the only way we're going to survive this is to do it together. There can't be this divide of, oh, you are old, I'm young. We don't have time for that. We just need to work together. Everybody brings something to the party.
I'll say the most shocking thing to me that I've seen is people trying to divide us from the T in our alphabet. And I don't understand why people want to do that. That's, they're part of our community. They are us. I don't understand why you'd want to turn against them. It angers me.
when you look at Stonewall, I mean, the modern moment of the gay civil rights movement, where it was basically cauterized there, that was basically started because of drag queens, hustlers, and kind of those folks were tired of being harassed. And so they fought back. That was not the first uprising, but it was the one that the media grabbed onto, and it lasted for multiple days. And so Stonewall the Bar is now a national monument. And when you really think about those riots like that, I mean, it's like you've got the LA Black Cat, the San Francisco, the Compton Donuts. But it was not just the big cities. I mean, right here in Phoenix in the 60s, we had a bar that was raided, and 20 plus young men were then hauled off downtown, their names published in the papers. And many of them, their lives were took a very much of a severe turn, either losing family, jobs. And recently there was just a bar over the weekend in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
That had a raid. As more coming out about that, it's interesting because at first it was like, what are they doing? It looks like it may have been because they didn't have an updated permit. So, and I just saw something today because I was looking it up to find out what else, what was the next piece of the story. And they had put out a piece about themselves, but they hadn't gotten the updated permit that allowed them to have more people than their current fire code.
Ah, so there was rationale behind,
but they said
the appearance anyway.
Right, right. But I mean, at that first moment, it was kind of like, oh, we're taking a step back.
Right. Well, with everything going on, I certainly understand that. When I first read it, I was aghast. And then when I read a little bit more, I wasn't as angry because they did wait for the end of the performance, which I thought was grateful, gracious. Unlike, the ones we hear in the 60s.
Right. And then also it's interesting to leave the bar, and then the community that was gathered outside the bar continued to build community and to celebrate with each other.
Right.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where at first blush, it could have been something horrible.
Right.
But I don't think it was. From the bar, I mean, the fact that as soon as it happened, the city of Pittsburgh, the mayor said, hey, we're going to dig into this.
Right. That shows the
which
progress.
Is very different than
we've made some progress despite the step back.
Right. Exactly.
Now, do you ever feel the weight of being a historian and a community figure?
You know, a lot of times, and I wrestle with, I try to always take the high road and how to present something in the best light possible. Because there's always that silver lining that, I mean, when you look at Tucson in 1976, they had their first pride. And that was because a young man named Richard Henkin was brutally beaten outside of a bar. And the folks that did it received very minimal sentences. But the reaction of that was the first Pride Festival in Arizona, as well as the city of Tucson, then developed some language in their own government that basically created more of an LGBTQ safety net.
Right. I hate that we're reactive, but we have to be to a certain degree. But at least, you know, that is, you know, the saving grace is that, well, we can't stop what happened. We can control how we react and what we do in response.
Oh, you know, I was going to bring up, it's like, you know, for folks that may or may not have gone to the gay rodeo a couple months ago, we were one of the first ones in the country. We were one of those early adopters of being a gay rodeo as a state.
Oh,
and wow. The ASU Art Museum has a really cool exhibit up by a Texas artist, Jose Villalobos, that really starts looking at kind of that queering of the rodeo. It's a fascinating exhibit.
And where is that at?
And that is the ASU Art Museum. And so that is up until I think the end of July. And it's well worth going to. I know at some point, probably in July, they will bring Jose back to do some sort of a performance piece.
Oh, very
We've talked a little bit about that. So,
and that kind of like leads right into my next question. For young queer folks who feel disconnected from history, what's advice for them to be able to reconnect or even become storytellers like themselves, like this exhibit here?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I wanted to bring up that exhibit, because it brings new eyes to something that I've been to the gay rodeo, and it's like, and yes, it is indeed a queer rodeo. And then to have somebody who grew up in that culture now looking at it in a different way.
That's incredible.
Was fascinating. During COVID, so 1906, a Russian gender pioneer passed away here. Now, he moved from Russia to Chicago, got himself a good government job, as well as two wives, one divorce, and tuberculosis. So like many folks in the early 1900s, he moved to Arizona because we had dry and clean air at that point. And so he got here. It didn't go well. He wound up passing away. And as they readied him for burial, they discovered that he was born a woman. And so he was buried in Greenwood Cemetery in a dress and not given a headstone, even though he would have had means for a headstone. So it was a way, I think, to disrespect him, to erase his story. And so we were able to raise funds working with Transpectrum and the Louise Lawrence Gender Archive out of San Francisco. And so we were able to raise money and actually got him a headstone. And so that's out of Greenwood Cemetery. So just trying to keep those stories alive. And I've had so many, especially young folks, come up and say, thank you for finding and telling Nikolai's story, because my parents think I'm doing this because it's trendy. And I can show them that now here is this man from 1906. But, you know, here in Arizona, it goes back even further than that. I mean, the whole idea of two-spirit, which is an indigenous belief about people living beyond just the male and female genders.
Yes.
That was kind of forgotten about and is now making a comeback. I mean, it's like we've had a two-spirit powwow down at South Mountain for several years. That's a lot of fun to go to. I love how every year it keeps getting bigger and bigger and playing upon that history.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've watched that grow down here because that's where we are, is down in South Mountain area. So,
yeah, and I just love seeing that event grow and grow and the diversity that it brings out. I mean, all ages, I mean, pretty much you name it, and there is someone there of that community, which is great.
What's one Arizona myth or rumor that you'd love to debunk once and for all?
I would say not in terms of gay history, but just in terms of there's always the rumor that Al Capone's car is stuck under the Westward Ho in the parking garage during a mudslide. There is no parking garage under the Westward Ho. He would have been in town, but he may have stayed there, but basically it goes back to when you had these big old buildings, how would they cool them in the middle of summer? So they had these tunnels that would bring air from underground and push it through the building. And that's how they would cool the building in the middle of summer.
And so did someone say that Al Capone's car was like in one of those?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's a persistent rumor that it's like, oh, Al Capone, because he would have been here during Prohibition, trying to find booze. I mean, Arizona was full of stills producing lots of booze. So in a period of Prohibition where it was illegal to sell, it was still available.
And do you have any upcoming tours, talks, or must-see events that you're hosting or attending?
I know I have some presentations coming up. I've got a couple that are really kind of looking at cosmic connections of Arizona, because when you look north to Flagstaff, they have Lowell Observatory where Pluto was discovered, as well as every astronaut that has walked on the moon has trained up in that area of the state. So I'm kind of doing that through a couple libraries over the summer. I've got a gay history program. If people want to follow, they can do a couple things. There is AZ Gay History on Instagram as well as Facebook, or Instagram is hip_orion, Yeah, I mean, and that's great. We do have a morning show out of Arizona Center.
Tell me more about this.
Yeah, so basically, so we started doing a morning show. We just actually had our 100th episode. And so what we do is we pitch local. So we have had local businesses on. We have local artists on. It's all about sharing that Arizona love and giving people a chance to get some social media content. And like you, I learn about so much from the guests as they tell me. I'm like, I didn't know that. So, and we always do have a little history segment. So I always get to pitch a little bit of Arizona history every day. So appreciate that.
And is this on the daily then?
So it is. So it goes live. So if folks go on YouTube, it is on themorningshow.com is our webpage. And from there, you can find us on YouTube, all the episodes. And we're going to have Michelle on from the Quality Chamber on coming up soon. So, I mean, even though summer is coming and it's getting hot, there's still going to be things to do.
Very cool. See, look at how much I've learned. This is great. I knew having you on would be awesome. I knew it would be. All righty, Marshall. Anything else that you want to plug or let us know or remind us of before I let you go?
I would say follow socials, follow AZ Gay History on Instagram or Facebook. If you just want to follow me for other general Arizona history, that is hip_historian. I mean, basically, the hip historian is my moniker. And so just trying to bridge that gap and bring cool stories to the forefront.
Awesome. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being on. Thank you so much for being diligent.
Pride isn't just a weekend. It's a way of life on the Gay PHX podcast.
You are about to embark on a hero's journey. You will do something you never thought you could do. Destiny awaits, and you cannot escape it.
Very funny, Valentina. You can just say take out the trash next time.
Honey, in this house, we're all your friends. What's your name?
I'm Simon.
I'm Mama Moo Moo. This is my place. Every drag performer is unique.
Thank you, thank you. I love you, boys.
The name's Dinah. Dynabolical.
Cry, you miserable queens!
Igor? Showtime.
When you fall in love with you, your star begins to glow. But when you put that love to use, you become a hero.
God, who are you?
The name's Maxi LaWow.
Maxi LaWow!
Maxi LaWow, Super Shiro, available on iTunes, Apple TV, and wherever you stream your superpower.
Girl, I'm a super queen.
Pride lives here.
Alrighty, y'all. If you're still with us at this point, thank you. Seriously, thank you. You've made it through the full episode, and that means the world to us. This isn't just another podcast. This is community radio on demand. We may not have a tower or a studio on Camelback, but we've got something even better, and that's you. Your ears, your energy, and your support. So if this made you smile, nod, or feel a little bit more connected to our community, help us spread the word. Post it. Share it. Tell a friend who needs to know our city has a voice.
Huge thanks to our guest this week, Gabby, from the Arizona Women of Leather and Marshall Shore, the hip historian, for reminding us why community matters and why our stories matter and why we need to keep them alive. And we can't forget one last round of love to Live Nation Phoenix for helping us give out 54 pairs of tickets in June. Our final Kesher ticket winner is...
And the winner is...
Horacio 727. We'll be in touch. Get ready to dance your glitter off. Make sure you're following or subscribed wherever you get your podcast and swing by gayphx.com for photo galleries, event pics, and a chance to tell us who we should feature next. And of course, don't forget the bear suit photos from Tidal Wave. We'll be back next Tuesday with more stories, more voices, and more reasons to fall in love with this community all over again. This is your community podcast, and your voice belongs here. See you next week.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.